Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen of Lafayette,
the Hammer Down Show with Jared Jussolaitis is Lafayette's number one sports show.
Yes, I'm excited!
He totally went to Jared.
The voice of Lafayette sports.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better.
Send us your thoughts on the text line at 765-447-4080.
Now go do that voodoo that you do so well!
Doesn't it? I'll tell you what feels like March. Getting number 26, right? Let's go. Back-to-back Boilers. We got a lot of Purdue news that we got to get to today. So let's go ahead and try to cover as much as we can. As always, we start with the need-to-know news.
Here's your need-to-know news.
Yeah, that's right. We all know that Saturday, Purdue back-to-back Big Ten champions, winning at number 26 thanks to an 80-74 victory over Michigan State. Zach Edey, 32 points. Are you serious? Braden Smith added 23. Zach with another 11 rebounds to go on top of that. Braden Smith had 9 rebounds in that game. Not fair, man. Not fair. As a result, Purdue has dropped down one spot in the AP poll. They're down to number 3 after their win over the weekend. We'll get into it. Look, it's a tight margin this week. Purdue was 1 point over UConn last week. They're down 3 points under UConn this week. But something has been made right. Braden Smith is named a finalist to the Bob Cousy Award Trophy. I know what you're saying, Jared, wait a minute. They left him off the semifinalist list. Yeah, they did. And then Braden Smith went off even more. And the fan base went off on the Cousy Award people even more. And so they have rectified the situation. That's insane. No Big Ten hoops tonight, but yesterday, IU over Maryland, 83-78. Indiana's first back-to-back win since the Christmas break. I believe... No, I'm not going to say that because that's not true. Ohio State trounces Michigan, 84-61. Nebraska handling Rutgers, 67-56. Two local sectional champs in boys' hoops. Westside taking home the crown at Case Arena, 45-43. They beat Twin Lakes, avenging a 20-point loss earlier in the season to the Indians back on January the 20th. Regional for them will be at Logansport Saturday. I totally forgot to write down who in the world they... Oh, look at me. I had it here, and then when I was on John Harrell's site, I was having an issue pulling up that stuff. They are out at Logansport. There you go. Taking on Peru. For some reason, I knew Peru was involved, but they weren't playing at Peru. They play at Logansport this Saturday against Peru, who is 15-10 on the season. Then you got Central Catholic, who just went right through their sectional. They beat Carroll 54-47 in the final. Their average win was like 20 points a game. Crazy. Regional game is against Fort Wayne Blackhawk. That game is going to be at Case Arena in Frankfort. CC did not play them this season. They are 20-6. Now, CC does have a little bit of experience with Fort Wayne Blackhawk. They had played them the previous two seasons. Last year at home, 75-50, the loss there on December the 10th. And then two seasons ago, they were at Blackhawk and lost 72-66. Speaking of the Blackhawks are back on the road tonight where they've lost 21 straight. They're going to Colorado, who just beat them 5-0 last week in Chicago. Avs are a massive minus 425 on the line tonight. It's even money for a 3-goal win. I can't believe that. That is a huge, huge, huge number. Like, to the point where you almost have to take the Blackhawks to win. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you the insane amount of value at plus 330 on the Blackhawks to win a game. That's something. You can still get the Avalanche at about 5.5-1 to win in a shutout. They did just win 5-0. We'll talk about it later. Pacers losing in San Antonio, 117-105. Wemby had 31-12. They're off tonight. Bulls are in Sacramento this evening, a 7.5-point road dog. And we're just over 3 weeks away from baseball's opening day. The Cubs will get back after it here in just a few minutes, taking on San Diego. Wicks is on the mound as your starter. A 5-3 win yesterday over the Guardians moved the Cubs to 5-4. The Professor was on the mound for 3 innings, gave up 5 hits, 3 runs, 1 strikeout. Bodey, Mastroboni, and Alcantara all homered yesterday. And there you go. That's what you need. That is your need-to-know news for this Monday, the 4th of March. There you go. No Big Ten hoops tonight. By the way, who told you, what did I tell you on Friday in terms of that Purdue game? We didn't know the spread just yet, but I told you I'm not taking it more than 5.5. What was the final? 80-74. Absolutely nailed that one. Absolutely nailed. I told you, would not go over 6. Said 5.5. I'm not going over 6. You got a 6-point win. I'm proud of myself on that one. So, yeah, nothing today. If I want to take a guess at tomorrow's line, I'm thinking somewhere around 2.5, 3.5. It might come out 3.5 and then get hammered down to 2.5 rather quickly. But I think Purdue will probably be the favorite there. And if that's anything north of like 3.5, that's going to get hammered down very quickly. I promise you that. I promise you that. But we want to look for some kind of value today. And you got to look at this hockey game tonight. I honestly think Avalanche to win in a shutout at 5.5-1 is not bad for you. Like, that's one I feel like you can kind of float, see what happens. And as much as I love plus 330 for a team to win a hockey game, I can't in good conscience in that one. But I'm also going to tell you, if you're going through willy-nilly and putting together a parlay, do not put minus 425 into your parlay. That is just not worth it for what you got to put in. Duke, North Carolina tonight. I'm sorry, North Carolina State. Oh, okay. I was like, wow, North Carolina is a 6-point home dog? I was looking over that. Texas, Baylor tonight as well. I'm sorry. I have been bitten by the Longhorns too many times this season to want to try to take them to cover. Especially on the road. I know Baylor's coming off the win against Kansas, and maybe there's some kind of a letdown, but no. No. But outside of that, ain't a whole lot of else interesting on a Monday night. There's really not. I think I'm okay with Baylor tonight. But to be honest with you, I might as well just go ahead and take that extra unit that I was going to put down on something else. It was going to be a two-unit night. I just do that and take a big shot at 5.5-1 and see what happens. Perhaps our friends, the Chicago Blackhawks, will oblige you and put up a very big number. It'd be great. It's already at 2.5 on the puck line. This is crazy. Again, they've lost, 21 straight on the road. They've lost their last 7 games. I don't trust them. And the good news is they haven't exactly been lighting the lamp a ton. 2 goals against the lowly Blue Jackets. They were shut out by the Avalanche. 2 goals against the Red Wings, 2 goals against the Jets, 1 goal against the Flyers. So it's not like Bedard's all of a sudden kicked it in and is willing this team. I mean, they've been outscored the last 2 games 10-2. I think there's a shot there. Avalanche aren't the greatest defensive team, but they will beat the snot out of you. And 3 games this season between these two teams, the Avalanche have shut out the Blackhawks in 2 out of those 3 games. So I'm willing to ride on that on 5.5. That's my play tonight. I'm not hammering it. I'm not going crazy. But I probably will take that, 2 unit that I would have done on something else. And maybe I'll just go ahead. I'll play the lottery ticket tonight. All right, we're going to take a little time out here. When we come back, lots to digest with Purdue. They've got title number 26, a date with the Illini coming up. The Cousy Award has rectified these issues. And why in the world does Purdue fall in the AP poll on a week where they have not lost? We'll talk about it all. That's next. This is the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101. Welcome back to the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. You can always reach out on the Blue Fox Heating and Cooling Hammerhead Hotline. That number is 765-447-4080. Again, that number is 765-447-4080. So, I want to talk a little Purdue here. They dropped down a spot in the rankings down to 3, and I know some people probably upset about that. Why does that happen? Purdue does not lose. They drop down a spot. UConn with a statement win yesterday. And you got to remember, too, Purdue was only 1 point better in the poll last week than UConn was. So it was already tight margin. It kind of comes down to a couple of people. Somebody named Chandler Mack, and I'll tell you where they're from, Columbia, TV guy in Columbia. Kate Rogerson, who is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Nick Alvarez, who is in Alabama. And our good buddy Stephen Means, who this is the guy that had Purdue all the way up at all the way down at 7 last week, actually moved him up to 4 on his list. So it's probably really just the 3. Those are the people who voted Purdue in at number 4 this week, who dropped their votes down from where they had him last week. South Carolina guy had him at 2, dropped him to 4. North Carolina gal had him last week at 3, dropped him to 4. Alvarez from 3 to 4 as well. So 3 people in SEC territory who bumped an SEC team ahead of the Boilermakers. Because for some reason, that they feel is legitimate, they have moved Tennessee in front of the Boilermakers. If you're wondering how these resumes, well, first off, look at what Tennessee did over the last week. Did they get a massive win over a top-ranked team? This might surprise you. They did not. I mean, look, they beat Alabama on the road on Saturday. Big win for them. Very big win. They beat Auburn last week as well on Wednesday. So they had a good week, okay? But when you compare the resumes again, Purdue, three more victories, three less losses. Purdue in the quad one, 10-3, Tennessee 6-5. In the quad two, Purdue 6-0, Tennessee 6-1. Quad three, it's 7-0 versus 6-0. And in quad four, it's 3-0 versus 5-0. And let's not forget, Purdue also has that W over Tennessee on a neutral court. But again, look who we talked to here. It was three SEC territory folks. We're talking Carolina, probably not as much as SEC. My apologies. But you know what I'm saying? These are out-of-conference people who probably don't watch the Big Ten. That's where the difference got made up there. People that decided Tennessee was better than Purdue. And there's only so much that you can do there. It doesn't feel fair. I'm with you. When it comes to the top three teams in UConn, Purdue, and Houston, again, all at 26-3, all at 10-3 in the quad one. Houston and UConn 5-0 in quad two, Purdue 6-0 in quad two. All very, very close to each other. You can make those arguments all day, and I'm okay with that. But if you want to know, again, why Purdue dropped down a spot, it's because you had three Southerners that decided Tennessee should be the number three school and not Purdue. So that's how that happens. But at this point, does it matter? Like I joked over the weekend, you know, Houston had needed that last second shot to win at Oklahoma. You know, Purdue only won by so much at Michigan and people freaked out, called them frauds. That's not right. They're fading, but that talk never comes around Houston. It's, look at how resilient they are. Please. The only frustrating thing for me in the polls is literally almost everybody outside of three people know who the top three teams in the country are. And again, you can have the argument who deserves to be number one out of those three, as long as I think we're all in agreement that they are the top three teams in the country. And Tennessee can be fourth. Iowa State can be fourth. I don't care. But you just can't, even if you look at the records, for Pete's sakes, that stuff. Is what it is. Bozich got us a three. And you know I've been riding him in his poll for quite some time. But I thought we'd at least agree on that. And then as much as I want to dunk on the Koozie Award people for finally adding Braden Smith back into the fold, I kind of want to take it easy on him. I think we made our point. Braden Smith clearly made his point. And he is a finalist, which he absolutely deserves. Does he deserve to be the award winner? He certainly has a great case. He certainly has a great case. Kolek's not going to be playing the next couple of games. He's got the oblique. So, you know, he has two less games. And this is how they look. I'm not going to take anything away from Tyler Kolek because he is a very good guard. But with him sitting out there, there will be – Braden Smith's not going to get any bonus points in that race because he's playing these last two games. But Kolek will still be held in high regard, even though he doesn't play. You know what I'm saying? Even Marquette themselves will get a pass over the next couple of games because he's not out there. But if Purdue didn't have Braden Smith or Purdue didn't have Zach Edey, you know what the talk would be. They don't have the depth. Oh, this just goes to show you, this is the problem with Purdue. There's no depth. They can't play. They can't win. Frauds. But Marquette's like, well, you got to take into consideration that Kolek's not out there. They're a great team with Tyler Kolek. Purdue wouldn't get that. I guarantee Purdue would not get that. And Kolek, in for all reasons here, is going to do that. And here's my other thought with that, too, is I don't know. Do you like being wrong? No, I mean, I'm never wrong, so I don't know what that's like. I'm asking you. You like being wrong? What's worse than being wrong? Being wrong and then having people try to rub it in your face, too, right? Isn't that the worst part about it? So in this race here where they were wrong to not have Braden Smith in, do you really think that they want to give Braden Smith that award? They feel foolish. They'd look foolish for getting it wrong. I don't know. Can the egos handle that stuff? Can they do that? They should be able to. Nobody goes through and finds out who the members are of that committee and the people that vote on it and then chastise them publicly for missing somebody on a semifinalist list and then giving them the award later. I say, look, they made a mistake. That's cool. We all make mistakes, right? I make mistakes every now and then. Stinks, right? They made up for it, right? They got it right in the end. Did they get it right in the end? And that's all you really want. Much like the AP poll, when we're going to start talking about your seeding here in the NCAA tournament. AP going to mess it up and get them, third? Cool. That's fine. But did the NCAA selection committee get it right and get them in at number one? That's all that matters. And that's kind of the way that I'm trying to look at this thing. Now, Purdue, saddle up. They'll get ready. They'll go into Illinois, already the champion, knowing that either a win there or against Wisconsin at home on Sunday gives it to them outright, or a loss by Illinois in their last game at Iowa on Sunday would also do it for them. I don't think you want to share it with anybody at this point. I don't think they're going to. I think by the time we go off the air, we'll probably find out that Zach has won another Big Ten Player of the Week award after his performance on Saturday. Purdue able to overcome Courtney Green and what just felt like just very, very poor officiating. A lot of travels missed both ways. Purdue with some, Michigan State with some. There's that double technical foul on Lance, with Lance Jones that I just didn't quite understand. Just a really broken game. Didn't like it at all. I guess Braden Smith could be the Big Ten Player of the Week, right? He had himself quite the week. It's hard to ignore the 32 points from Zach on Sunday. That's the issue there. We'll see what happens. But look, great weekend for Purdue. AP poll, compound sand, best of luck. It does stink that essentially three people cost you a spot in the poll. It is what it is. I care about where we're at the end of April. I'll deal with that. But I'm glad Braden's getting his right now. I'm glad the Cousy Award decided, hey, we can rectify this error. I'll back off on them. We made our point. They heard, they saw, they made it right. Let's move on, huh? Let's take a break. We'll come back. I got plenty more Hammer Down Show for you. Don't forget your thoughts on the Blue Fox Heating and Cooling Hammerhead text line, 765-447-4080. Always love hearing from you guys. Hang tight, more Hammer Down Show next. Welcome back to the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com, as the NFL Combine finally wrapped up over the weekend. Shout out to Tyrone Tracy. Seems like he turned some heads too, some good measurables, as the Combine's kind of turned into those guys who are those, they're not the most elite guys, they're not those first like 25 or so, who don't seem to want to do anything. They'll work at the pro day, and then that's about it. It's for these guys that are, you know, need some more eyeballs on them, because, I mean, let's face it. How many D1 college football players do we have? And then you cut down that number to how many of them are eligible or will go into the draft, and then you're trying to, you know, as staff, you're trying to get to all of these. It becomes a way for these middle-level guys to kind of stand out. I mean, the Combine will invite those upper-tier guys that have a really good chance of getting drafted, but those guys need to do some things to kind of get on more radars, and that's what this has turned into. Some people don't like it. The top guys don't want to come out because they don't want to hurt themselves. And I understand that. But part of me says, you know, that's good. Maybe then that's more time and focus can be on the other guys that are trying to raise their stock. And certainly a lot of those guys, too, don't want to. Caleb Williams, A, doesn't want to get hurt. B, I'm sure doesn't want to do anything to give people pause about picking him. So, like, I get it. But no clarity on what happens with Justin Fields. No clarity on what the Bears are going to do just yet. Kind of continue to go about our days. I did see where now the NFL is thinking about tweaking the onside kicks. I just don't know. Here's the other problem. Is just 5.2% of onside kicks were recovered in 2023. And just two surprise onside kicks. So, it's not being utilized as much. Or at least it's not an effective play. It hasn't for quite some time. Because this was one of those, much like on the kickoffs, this is one of those things where the NFL said, hey, we're getting too much hard contact. It's not great when you've got guys that are just kind of sitting there and waiting for other dudes to get a 10-yard head start to come barreling into them. They wanted to change things. And the amount of guys that could be on one side. But here's what they want to do. New rules should raise both frequency and success rates of onside kicks so they can get more late comebacks. That's what they want now. From NFL.com, language is still being finalized. The owners must approve, which would be at their league meetings coming up on the 24th through the 27th. The concept of the new kickoff rules are the following. The kickoff and return teams would line up on the receiving team's 40 and 35-yard lines. So we got a 5-yard buffer. And if you're a recovering team, you're already into enemy territory. So you kick off the receiving team's 40-yard line and 35-yard lines. Not leave until the ball is touched or reaches the target zone, which is the 20-yard line. If the ball is kicked into the end zone, the receiving team gets it at the 35-yard line. The ball is kicked into the target zone and rolls into the end zone. The receiving team would get possession, and that would start on the 20-yard line. That can't be right. And I'm a little bit surprised, because didn't we just change the kickoff rule so you could fair catch it in your own 25 to eliminate these run backs, which are some of the most exciting plays in football, because too many people were getting hurt. We got that number. 22% of kickoffs got returned last season. Just 22%. Every kickoff in the Super Bowl was a touchback. And look, I like comebacks just like anybody else, but why are we going to make it easier for that to happen? Special teams, are they an important part of the game? Yes. But you shouldn't be able to have such a great special teams unit that you are able to overcome the ineptitude of your offense and defense, or at least your defense, so to speak, right? I know it's hard to get an onside kick. It should be. I don't think for a second that the NFL should be changing these rules in order to get a team that has trailed for a, you know, for a good part of the game just because you want a little bit more high drama. You know, there should be some benefit for the team that has played and plays with the lead. There just should. They want to make the kickoff exciting again. After they neutered it. Because of the injuries. Now, they want to try to put some juice back into it. Well, you can't have it both ways. Yeah, it just stinks. So now what I think the other thing would do is if you did this and you made it easier for the onside kicks, I think the real adjustment that you would see here is that defenses, let's say you're up, you know, 14 points at the 2-minute warning and you've punted the ball away, your opponent's got it to their own 20-yard line. Well, now you almost have to get more aggressive on defense here. There's no more sitting back, play the prevent, and let the unders and say, hey, they can blow a minute and a half to get down the field because we've got a two-score advantage. And even if they got it down there and they scored with like 10 seconds left, well, now they still got to get an onside kick and take it down. This would really take that strategy out, right? So now you're not playing so much defense. You're not playing a prevent. Now you got to get a little bit more aggressive. I think that's the biggest change that would come by this. If you made it easier for the onside kicks to try to help out these comebacks, and your defense has just got to be able to go out there and not give them the chance to get to that point. Not that they're letting them score to begin with, but you know what I'm talking about, right? When you're enjoying a two-score lead late in a game, you're okay with those little drag routes that get you, you know, 4 or 5 yards. You got 80 to go. It's going to take you a while to get all the way down there. You let them burn the clock. And occasionally one of those little crossing routes, yeah, you beat the nickel or something like that. You're able to pick up 10, 12 yards. But you're okay because you're playing like four guys back to make sure that nobody breaks it for a big one because time's on your side. That would be the biggest adjustment there. But I'm surprised. I mean, you knew what was going to happen to the kickoffs when you made this adjustment, and you know why you were making it because it was player safety. Now all of a sudden, it's gotten too boring and you want to change things again. I don't think, out of all the things you complain about from the NFL season, was it you didn't have enough returns last year? Was that really, like, in your top three complaints? I don't think so. I think you got other problems you could fix, NFL. I don't think the kickoffs and the onsides really need to be messed with right now. Just my opinion. Now, everyone's house is different, but they're all the same in one way. We've all got those places where the Wi-Fi just won't go. Maybe it's an attic, maybe it's a basement. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about those dead spots. Finally, with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds throughout your home. You get reliable connection in every room. Guys, you get the power for all your devices, even when everyone is online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only on the Xfinity 10G network. Get wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity for a reliable connection throughout your home. Now through March the 5th. Get gig speed internet for $35 a month for 12 months when you add unlimited mobile. Plus, get Wi-Fi equipment included for 2 years. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees are extra and may change. Gig speed Wi-Fi requires gig internet and Xfinity gateway. After 12 months, internet increases to $60. After 24 months, regular rates apply. Xfinity Mobile requires Xfinity Internet. Actual speeds vary. Hang tight. We're coming right back. I've got things we may have missed as we wrap up the Hammer Down Show on... Hey, welcome back to the Hammer Down Show on 1017 The Hammer, 1017thehammer.com. I'm Jared Jesulaitis. It's always great to have you guys along on a Monday afternoon here, especially when the weather's been so nice. Oh, I got out, played 18 holes yesterday. I still feel like I played 18 holes. I play like nine all. I play like a little league over at Purdue. It was only like nine holes because I played like after work, but I never got out and played 18 at all last year. Getting old, man. Oh, and we also had the big setup, too, for, I know I told you guys about this last week, but our sister station's doing Gowntown over at the Tippecanoe Mall on Thursday from 4 to 7. If you got a high school girl who needs a prom dress, you can come on out and pick one up for free. We're in the old Victoria's Secret location there. Tons and tons and tons of dresses. Yeah, that was, so yeah, I'm sore, and then I threw that on top of that, like hauling all these bags and stuff. Yeah, I'm going to sleep good tonight. That is for sure. Let's get into some of the things that we may have missed. Shout out to Purdue baseball. It's another winning weekend for them. They lost to 11th-ranked Eastern Carolina on Friday, but Saturday, Sunday, they pick up two wins, and they finish the weekend 2-1. So that is three straight weekends where they have started out or at least had won the weekends here. They're 8-3 right now. They're going to go up to Notre Dame tomorrow, and then they're at home. Like, they're at Alexander Field this weekend, starting on Friday, doubleheader on Saturday, and then Sunday, 1 o'clock. They're hosting Albany, and it is Mario Day? It's like a Mario T-shirt? I don't know what that all entails. Like, is it like, oh, celebrate Mario Day. It's that Mario. Okay. I'm in. Let's go. Shout out to Purdue baseball. Shout out to Purdue men's tennis. They took the weekend too. They won both their matches this weekend. So shout out to those guys. Purdue women's golf out in Vegas right now. I saw the video of them like practicing yesterday and just, I don't know if you've seen videos from out in Vegas this week, but the wind has been like, we think we get the wind bad. That is, it's a different level out there this week. The tumbleweeds are just crazy. Just absolutely crazy, but they're out there right now. Tied for fifth at 3 over. They're 6 shots off of the lead, which is SMU. They're just 1 shot out of fourth and 2 shots out of second. As for individuals, Momo Sugiyama is 1 under through 16. That puts her 7th, 2 strokes off of the lead for today. Jay Gu is making her first start, they said today, too. She is making the most of it. She's even through 17. That puts her in 13th, along with Ashley Kozlowski, who is also even. She's through 15. So Purdue off to a good start out there in Las Vegas. You love to see that. That's about like it for the things that we may have missed, right? Jason Kelce did retire today. I'm sure you've seen that. Good for him. In 13 seasons, and he's been an Iron Man. So I thought that was great that he gets out when he does get out. Look, I'm a big proponent of this. And I'll say the same thing. Let me use his brother as an example here. So you got Travis Kelce, who's got, how much longer does he have on that big deal of his? Because he makes a lot. Does he have another year or two left on that? But you know what I'm talking about. He's got that massive deal. Getting like $12 million this year. He gets 16 and a quarter mil next year. And then he's an unrestricted free agent in 2026 when he'll be 37 years old. And I implore him, get out after that. It's one of the hardest things to do, is to go out while you're still on top. If you've ever sat down at a blackjack table, you know exactly what I mean. Right? So he could go through, you know, after this big deal, he's going to end up with, like, how much in career earnings? Around $40 million, maybe? 45? So you got that. You got all the endorsement money you're getting. And I'm sure after about 2 years of this Taylor Swift thing is still going on, that I'm sure maybe this tails off a little bit. There'll be some fatigue. Get out. You know, it hurts me when I hear guys like Drew Brees like, yeah, no, I can't really raise my shoulder up and throw a ball anymore. Like, you miss out on moments with your family. I said the same thing about Tom Brady. Like, what more do you need? He'll leave with what, at least three trophies? All the All-Pros, more than enough money to live off of for the rest of your life. What more do you need in this sport? I love football. But it is a violent sport that takes a toll on your body at that level and at the collegiate level, even at the high school level. Now think about how much it's been beat up on, that so often these players don't think about what the next step in life is because this is the only thing that they've known for quite some time. And I get that. But I think over the years, I've seen enough people struggle with their health coming out of that sport. Don't you want to be able to hold the kids? Don't you want to be able to throw the ball with them? Don't you want to be able to do things? I mean, you've taken a decent enough beating to where you're still going to be able to have a good quality of life going forward. And I implore him. I'm like, I understand the glory of it. I do. But what more do you have left to prove when you have the records that they have? His last contract was 4 years, $57 million. That's more than enough. Say he gets married to the Swift lady. You don't have to worry about money ever again. Just relax. Follow her around on tour. Live life. Be healthy while you still can. It's the hardest thing to do. Like I said, you ever sat down at a blackjack table? You sit down with a couple $100, you get up like $150. You should run. Because it will, the law of averages always catches up to you. Get out while you're ahead, man. I'm glad to see his brother is still doing that. And there's more to life, and it's after football, and I hope he gets to embrace it. All right, we're back tomorrow, 3 o'clock, another round of the Hammer Down.